It's a proper ladies' anthem, that, isn't it? I Will Survive from Gloria Gaynor on BBC Radio Cambridgeshire. Online blogs are becoming an ever more popular way of sharing thoughts and experiences. And we came across an interesting one when we were looking for ideas for our food fortnight called Cottage Smallholder. It's hosted by Fiona Neville, who moved from a flat in London to a cottage in the village of Cheveley near Newmarket some 10 years ago, looking for a cheaper and more relaxed lifestyle. Well, Fiona and her partner Danny grow fruit and vegetables, keep bees in a third of an acre of their garden, and make jams, chutneys and wine from produce. Sounds all idyllic, doesn't it? Well, our reporter Sarah Verry has been along to meet Fiona, who was checking the latest postings on her website.
We're on the Slough Gin one, and there's a marvellous comment, actually. Woody says, lovely to find this site. There are so many sloughs in the hedgerows here, Worcestershire, that the branches are actually breaking. I've been picking them by the carrier bagful. All set now to make slough gin. Oh, I use barley sugar in my slough gin or various brown sugars to get different colours. Woody.
There's so much of a sense there of being involved with Woody out in the hedgerows as he's foraging for things and the things that he's making. There's a real sense of excitement there.
It's fantastic. I love it.
Is that generally the sort of comments that you get from people?
Yes, generally. I've had one nasty comment in the last year, but you can scratch out the nasty ones. But generally people are enthusiastic and it's a real growing passion. Lots of people want to hedgerow pick, and you can hedgerow pick in London parks. Someone came on who lives in East London and has found blackberries and damsons and cherry plums in her local park. So you needn't actually be living in the country. You could be living in Cambridge and find a little park. Or ask people, if I pick your pears and give you some of what I produce, would you like me to do that?
So can we go and have a look at your garden and see what you're growing here that other people might like to come and pick?
Yes, of course. We're walking through the main herbaceous bit and down to the pond garden where we've got the beehives. They're there because they don't get sun beating down on the hive in the afternoon, and then they have to expend a lot of energy beating their wings to keep cool, and they've got a good flight path in across the pond, plus they've got water in the pond which they need, and they're out of the way. We can happily sit here and have lunch at the table beside the pond, and we're not aware of swarms of bees, although at the height of the season there are 140,000 bees in those hives.
How much honey do you get from them?
If you're lucky, you should get about 40 pounds of honey per hive. I mean, you could get more if you really work the hives and move the hives around to fields and stuff. We don't. We just tend to like the garden flower honey. So then we go through the rose arch into the orchard bit of the garden. Oh, I just stop and get some seed for the chickens. Now, they really like this luxury parrot mix. They think it's fantastic.
Even though they're not parrots?
No, they much prefer it than a wild bird seed. They love sunflower seed. And we'll pick up some Swiss chard as well when we... kitchen garden when we get there.
Gourmet chickens.
Yeah. Yes. Now, this is our pear tree. Best harvest ever. It's such an enormous harvest that the tree has been pulled right down to the ground, so it's like a little arch.
It's really beautiful, isn't it? It's weeping almost, and it's weighed down with dozens of pears.
It's fantastic. They're a bit small, but they're perfect for making our Belgian pear recipe, which is delicious. Just pears simmer gently for hours with white wine vinegar and sugar, and they turn into the most heavenly concoction that you can bottle in jars, and it keeps for about 18 months. Brilliant if you're behind with supper. People have suddenly arrived, and you've got to produce a pudding.
Here's one I prepared earlier.
Yes. We've got a quince tree here that Bunty gave me when I made a broody coop for her broody hens, which was brilliant because I didn't expect a present. I came home and she'd left a tree on my front doorstep. We're going to go into the kitchen garden now.
Followed by the dogs.
Well, Inka always comes everywhere with me. She's a gardening assistant. We haven't got much left in the kitchen garden, mainly because we lost all our potatoes to blight very early in the year. We've got a fantastic harvest of Swiss chard, which keeps on. It's a cup and come again veg. Very like spinach, it's slightly different taste. I'm picking some because we can rip it into little shreds to give to the chickens and the keets, because they are very keen on getting their five a day. Probably much more keen than I am, really. You see, now we're throwing in the Swiss chard and the They're much more interested in the greens, aren't they?
So you've got a large black chicken.
That's Carol, and Carol was bred from an egg given to me by my friend Carol. Carol hatched out on Carol, my friend's birthday, and they're both exactly the same personality. It's wonderful.
We've got four or five birds that are definitely not chickens.
Yeah, those are guinea fowl. These are three-month-old guinea fowl, so they're still Keats, called Keats, the baby chick. And this is Mrs. Boss, this black and white chicken, who was broody earlier on this year, and a farmer's wife from Yorkshire, Sarah, sent me six guinea fowl eggs in an egg box, next day delivery, and five hatched out. And she has been so happy. She was always such a miserable chicken, constantly broody. And look at her, she's still having a lovely time because she's got a family. Now, I'll just pop this back in here. Until we got the guinea fowl, the hens didn't like greens. And once we got the guinea fowl and they started shrieking about them, they tasted them and realised actually they were quite scrummy. Finally, OK, we're back at the back door. We've got lovely rose hips here for making rose hip jelly. It's a very, very delicate, sophisticated jelly. It tastes slightly scented. It's a lovely jelly to give someone as a present, very special. But here we have a giant scented geranium, lemon-scented geranium. And I'm going to try a lemon-scented geranium apple jelly this year and actually try and put leaves into the jars. They look so pretty.
It's a lovely spot for it, just by the door. As you walk in and out, you just brush against
it. Yes, and you get this gorgeous smell. And it should be roughly, maximum a foot high. And this is, two and a half feet high?
Obviously it likes it here.
Yes, it loves it here, but I love it. I love them. I've never done well with them until this year, so I clearly like the wet weather.
As someone did.
Yes. I really want you to try my raspberry gin. It's pretty early to taste it. We made it out of our raspberries in about June, but I just want to see what you think.
In the interest of science.
Yes. This is a beautiful colour.
It's a fabulous pinky red, isn't it? Cheers.
Cheers.
Sarah had a good day that day. Now, if you'd like to share your recipes and ideas with Fiona, you can log on to www.cottagesmallholder.com. That's cottagesmallholder.com on web to find out more from Fiona Neville, who's really turned around her way of life, having moved from London 10 years ago.